Should we put this, we have our, a little triangle. Should we put it in there? Should we put it over there?
Good morning. Welcome to New Fane Congregation Church, where we strive to love and see the world through God's eyes. Whether this is your first time here or your bazillionth, if you form part of that 100% of humanity, then you are welcome here. Do we have any announcements?
On Passover and the Last Supper, the other tradition comes from the plagues and the Israelites being released, let go from Egypt, and that will be in conjunction with our usual first Monday Lord's Supper, which few will be serving to us, so we're going to have a tag team next week. But part of next week is in anticipation of an event that's happening here during Holy Week on the 16th, which is the Wednesday Holy Week, the day before Maundy Thursday. We'll be doing a Seder here, Passover Seder, and down in Fellowship Hall. And Rabbi Anita Jarvis of Rattle World is going to come and share with us. And it will really be beautiful. I think you guys can put it on your calendar. And then jumping forward one more after Easter on May 6th, lots to think about, but they'll be in the steeple. We are having hopefully a revival of our courageous conversations on Tuesday night, May 6th. Patty Dunn from Patient Choices Vermont will be coming to share about Act 39 and medical assistance in dying. So that's something to kind of think about. Thank you. The Wednesday, the 16th, the day before Monday, Thursday.
Any other announcements?
Good morning. I wanted to throw one date out, which is April 11th at 5:30 p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. There will be a soup and supper conversation. This is going to be a regular thing. I think it already is a regular thing, but we are invited, you all are invited to show up. It's an ecumenical, actually it's an interfaith gathering of congregations and people who belong to a spiritual tradition or don't belong to a spiritual tradition, but what we're doing is we're gathering to have real conversations about what's going on in our communities, how we're being affected by what's happening in the world, and actually just trying to navigate these times together and come up with ideas and hold space together. So important conversations. This is a great opportunity to connect with communities beyond New Fane. and in the service of the wider community. So if you can come, I'd highly encourage you to do so. And since Deb has made a Holy Week announcement about the Seder, I have one as well. In the this year, for the first time, we will be having joining with other UCC congregations at Guilford Community Church for a special Good Friday service. Time still to be determined, I believe. So more details to come on that, but do put it on your calendar, and I hope to see you there. Thank you.
So I sign up sheet next Sunday, and during coffee hour, I can be taking a chat and see what we might think about bringing to join us.
Are there any other announcements? Will you join me, please, in the call to worship? Friends, the Spirit of the loving God gathers us yet again to continue our training in the way of love.
We open our
hearts,
our minds, and our senses to the God's Spirit within and among us.
As we learn together how to hear faithful witness to the realities around us, let us remember that this witness is not a passive consumption of news and information, but rather a concerted act of awareness and presence.
We commit to being active witnesses to the journey of our present, the grief and the joy, the rage and the peace, the sorrow and the delight.
Let us pledge our fealty to love above all, refusing to be distracted by the divisive words and stories of culture wars.
We pledge ourselves to the truth of the gospel, that God loves us all, and intends that everyone should be restored to wholeness. Holy One, guide us on.
I invite you all to rise as you are able to sing hymn number 593.
Speak to me if I can't speak. Be careful of your tongue, as you have sought, so let me see. Don't want rich and lost. Holy, what am I made? Stumbling of straying feet, and feed me, friend, I may feed your hungry ones for faith and sweet. Oh, teach me, the one that I may teach, the precious things to impart, and wing my birds that they may reach the hidden depths of man's heart. Oh, fill me with until my heart shall overflow. Begin to your love to doubt, our praise to show.
Thank you. You may be seated. I invite you to join with me in saying the unison invocation. Love eternal, as we gather in your sight, fill us with your tender spirit, we pray. Hold us together in love. Bless and strengthen the bonds we form here and in the community around us. Grant us the ability to sense your gentle guidance. Help us to trust in your capacity to shine through us and perform wonder-working acts of love. With gratitude, we dedicate our lives to your service, dear God. Amen. God's peace be with you. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able and share a sign of God's peace with your neighbor.
Today's scripture reading is from Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so very much, Peter, for that reading. Lots of tough words there you got us through. This is a very familiar passage to many of us who have had the pleasure of being reminded of multiple times by our dear Judy, who I don't see present, but she has faithfully brought this passage to mind for us. Almost every time we talk about scripture and Judy is present, she raises Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? And it's such a rich invitation to ponder and a needed reminder of how complicated we make things. I wonder, as Peter read the passage, what stood out to you? What did you notice? Any curiosities? Any turns of phrase that caught your eye? Apple. I understand. That's great. That's a great place to start. Yeah. Well, where in the passage is there anything in the passage that's sort of complicating your understanding more than anything else? Yeah. Right.
What have I done to you in the world to come? I feel very, like an argument being made.
Yeah.
When I'm coming forward to figuring it out, who's talking and who's the best, like who's.
Right. So the prophet Mike. Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you for that. I mean, that's really helpful to understand. So that you've got this sort of courtroom kind of situation here where what's being invoked here is the idea, or evoked is the idea of pleading one's case in kind of a juridical context. And that's actually a great compliment to last week's passage where we had Job, and Job is just from the start to the end, it's about Job, you know, basically putting God on trial for these, even though he feels like he's on trial. So there's a way in which they're speaking entirely in this framework. This is a very rich tradition in the Jewish scripture. And so plead your case before the mountains. This is God, Micah speaking on behalf of God. And yeah, it's easy to get lost in the back and forth here, or the whose voice is whose here. But Micah is basically setting the stage for God's words to be uttered in this kind of courtroom setting. And God demands an answer, just like last week, Job demanded an answer of God. Now God is demanding an answer of the people of Israel. Oh my God, what have I, oh my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. God demands an answer, because from God's perspective, he has been faithful, or they have been faithful. They've led the people up out of the land of Egypt. They've delivered the people from across the Jordan again. And this second rather obscure reference to Balak and Balaam. And then doing this very familiar thing that prophets often do, which is talk about this idea of sacrifice, this notion of to get back to the comment I made a moment ago about how we complicate things. This is sort of, we get elaborate with our rituals, and we think that they become checked boxes more than acts of devotion. And so God is basically saying, all of these elaborate things that you can devise to do to appease me, none of that pleases me more than your service, your commitment, your devotion, your love, your doing of justice, your loving of kindness and mercy, your humility with me. So, that was a bit of a longer reply than I intended. Good. Great. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Apple. Any other curiosities? Bucky? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Bucky. It's a fascinating observation you make. And sort of how you read the Hebrew scriptures versus the New Testament. Because I see communal, And I think what you're raising is actually really important for us to notice, which is some of these elaborate things that we do, these boxes that we check to be righteous, can tend toward serving ourselves, assuaging our own sense of anxiety or guilt or shame or what have you. And in that way, it is a sort of individual or personal, private act that I'm doing. And what God is answering in return is, no. This isn't a personal salvation kind of thing. That's almost an anachronism in this context. What we're actually talking about is redemption for a whole people and ultimately for an entire world. That's the vision. That's the hope. And I think I just am really appreciating how you raise up the individual imperative and how that gets in the way of the communal imperative in our practice. I saw a hand back there. Was that you, Sawyer? What's up, buddy? You don't know where your friend is. Are you referring to Clifton? Yeah, I'm so sorry. I don't know where Clifton is either. But we're your friends too. Of course you can have a hug. Oh, we're going to do this now, yes. David. We're going to form a hug line. Well, thank you for indulging me with your observations from the text. And we had a great discussion at Bible study on Thursday night. Chris, Terry, and I'm sorry, Chris, if I don't want to botch what you said. So I'm just, everyone know I'm paraphrasing what I heard Chris say. This isn't a direct quotation, but Chris pointed out or made the observation that there's a lot of repetition in the prophetic text. We see the same things over and again. Stop with the sacrifices. That's not what's most important to me. What's important to me is that you treat each other well. And this voice, like Amos, Isaiah, Habakkuk, Hosea, all of these prophets are saying the same thing. It's getting tedious. Chris did not say that. That's my editorialization. And that in itself is very telling, right? Because we, as we discussed, we really overcomplicate things. There is a reason the prophets keep saying the same thing over and again over centuries. And that's because we can become a forgetful people. We can forget what's most important. And friends, right now in our world, what is most important is right here and right around us in our community. And I hear all the time, what should we do? What can I do? Well, you're about to hear what you can do. And what a joy. I am so, so delighted that we're joined this morning by our friends from the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group and from the Bonnievale Environmental Education Center. I'm going to hand it over to a representative of our Mission and Partnerships team. Peter will come forward, if you will, and invite our guest. Thank you so very much.
Well, yes, as a member of the Mission and Outreach Committee, it is my pleasure to introduce the recipients of our generosity for the month of April. Joanne Torello is here from the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group, and I believe Patty Smith is also here from the Bonnyvale Environmental Education Center. Would you like to come up and tell us about what you have, what you're up to?
Yes. Come on up, children.
Come on up, children.
Thank you, Peter.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to do a very kid, teenager and young adult, youth and young adult technique, and I'm going to use my phone for some points that I wanted to just make this morning. So my name is Joellen Torello. I have the pleasure of being a youth and young adult leader with the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group. And I lived in Newfane. I know many of you and many of you I don't know, but I wanted to let you know who I am and why I come to be here with such joy. I lived in Newfane for 25 years with my family and raised my children largely here, although we did move to Brattleboro. Coming here to this church is like a homecoming for me, and I did an impromptu search on Google this morning looking for Bible verse which talked about church homecoming, but I couldn't find anything appropriate. So I thought I would just tell you a story, a little bit of story. I lived in Newfane for 25 years up on Parish Hill, and I came to this church about 12 years into that and was an active member for about 12 years. About that time, there were about 7 or 8 families that all joined the church. Apple and David's children were very young. Most of the other families had elementary age children and some tweens. And I have to tell you that because there were suddenly 2 front rows filled with children, we were treated like royalty here. And so my memories are just so, so delightful. And nobody asked much of us for a couple of years. And then suddenly we all wanted to be part of the church and started really becoming quite active members. In the midst of that, our children were getting older and many of them had not been baptized. And so the parents started to meet with Chris Petrak, our pastor at the time. And Apple stepped forward and did a confirmation class. And oh dear, what was our beloved Sunday school teacher? She was downstairs every Sunday for years. I cannot remember her name, and I know that she has passed. Anyway, with gratitude, we lift her up. And, you know, children and youth are the heart of a church community, so it brings us a lot of joy. And so we started talking about doing a baptism, a group baptism for many of these children. And one of the children's name was River. And the parents have a great affinity for water. And so we started thinking about the possibility of doing this baptism in the Smith Brook behind the church. And Pastor Petrak, Chris, was willing to work with us. And indeed, I think about 8 of us were baptized that day. My children, there was an adult or 2 that was baptized, and so about 6 children. I have the videotape of that. I am going through a lot of memorabilia these days, as people my age are prone to do, and sifting and sorting, but this was something I wasn't going to pass. So I plan to put it in digital format, and I will get it to you. I would love for you to see this. But it was really an extraordinary and memorable event. We set the whole congregational church that morning in chairs up by the Smith Brook behind the church, and everybody was baptized. So in any event, my family ultimately moved to Brattleboro, where I was working, and we began attending the Guilford Community Church. During that period, our pastor, Lisa Sparrow, and whenever we came here, Rob Hamm would have us sing the song about the sparrow. And I should have thought of that to mention that to you because it's appropriate and beautiful. But she created the Brattleboro Interfaith Youth Group, and we came here on at least 5 years, consecutive years, because we were doing service trips to the Cheyenne River Reservation. And your congregation, I would come with a group of youth and they would present. Your congregation took tremendous interest and was very supportive of the youth group at that time and our trips, and interacted with the youth and gave generously, and we so appreciated that. Well, in the interim, you all know what happened, a worldwide pandemic. And a lot of challenges. And the in the interim, you had a pastoral change. Guilford had a pastoral change of a long-term and beloved minister. We had a short-term pastor. We now have an interim pastor. And in the midst, our congregation is revitalizing. And we wanted to renew our focus on children, youth, and families. And Nancy Leach, raise your hand, Nancy, because she is a major shaker and mover behind what's going on right now, and coordinator, and her husband, Brian Reamer, stepped forward to initiate some child, youth, and family activities. And they reinvigorated the Brattleboro area interfaith youth group. We didn't know who would come. We don't have a lot of youth active in our church right now. But we were thoroughly delighted that some of the new American families in Brattleboro have youth and young adults, and some youth and young adults from other congregations and faiths step forward to participate. And so we're doing the first service trip in a number of years and are here to tell you about it. So I want to thank you for welcoming these youth. They will introduce themselves, Morgan, Cameron, Benjamin, and Sammy. And with no further ado, they will tell you about who we are becoming, who we are now, what we're up to, and what we're going to be doing. So thank you.
Great. So we're, like she said, we're an interfaith youth group in the Brattleboro area primarily, and we're made of teenagers and young adults, youth, and we come together to do service work for our community, and this is this thing that we're coming here to fundraise for is our biggest thing yet. And oh yes, that. My name is Morgan. I've lived in Brattleboro all my life. And this is, an opportunity for me to go outside of Brattleboro a little bit more.
Hi, my name is Benjamin, and I was living in South Africa for, 17 years, and I just immigrated to the U.S., and I find this, Brattleboro Interfaith as an opportunity to, like, express my culture and also learn about the American culture that I'm newly exposed to.
My name is Cameron, and I've lived in Brattleboro for about like 7 or 8 years. I moved here when I was in like first grade about, and I've lived here ever since, and I've gotten to meet a lot of people from different congregations and different churches throughout my life here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Samuel. Most people call me Sammy, and I've been in Brattleboro for a year and a half, originally from Democratic Republic of Congo, but I've lived in Uganda for most of my life, and I'm just so much happy to be part of this youth group that is yearning to extend a hand of help to the community that is facing challenges. As we all know, the world is having a lot of chaos and a lot of hard things, and being part of this group that is willing to support, I feel blessed and happy.
And so this is an interfaith youth group, and so there's people from representing Christian, Muslim, Jewish, and or some other spiritual practice, or not affiliated with this spiritual practice at all. And your turn.
We will be going to Asheville, North Carolina, in the April break for school, and to assist the local nonprofit and helping the community to recover from the hurricane damaged in Hills flood that wiped out a town in North Carolina, and we'll be assisting Asheville Youth Missions to provide food and housing.
We will have the Asheville Youth Mission connect us with local service agencies like the Asheville Greenworks Ecology, which plants trees in urban areas and keeps things that could be recycled out of the landfill. Another organization we might work with is the Asheville Poverty Initiative. They create community by serving and offering conversation to over 500 people every week.
Continuation about what we will be doing each night, we will learn more about the needs of people in Asheville with reading, group conversation, and art projects, so we can connect our experiences with the five goals we have for our trip. Those goals are serving others, developing leaders, supporting justice, building community, and practicing compassion. We'd like to share what we already know about these five goals.
So serving others as a major one is, it's an opportunity for personal growth in learning how to participate in a community, and it's an opportunity to build community, which is one of the most important things we can do as humans, as we were discussing earlier. And we're going to be going to a completely different state that's far away and building these connections.
And we will also be serving a community on trying to improve our leadership, because it's like a different society that we go into, and as leaders we will have to promote teamwork and encourage others and to always have a smile. And as leaders we should help grow the community and try and walk through it.
Another goal we have is justice. Justice, it's really important for everyone in the community to have justice no matter what. Like when there is justice, it's like throwing a stone in a pond. There is a ripple effect that can lead to more justice that is good for everyone. Justice, it can mean punishment, but it can also mean forgiveness and letting someone be free. It can be supporting a victim and teaching about their rights. Justice is also when things are equitable for people, even if everyone doesn't get exactly the same things.
Another goal is community. Community is like a puzzle. There are lots of pieces that you have to think about to put it together. Bees are a good example of community because they work together doing very different tasks. Creating community is like building a house. You set a structure that others can add onto. Building community is physical but also psychological. Community means having a safe environment for yourself and others. Your community is whoever you save and can work with. In a relay race, you pass a baton, and in a community, you pass along values, emotions, and energy. A community opens doors for people by understanding their culture and creating trust.
And compassion is also an essential driver of all of these things, being able to understand other people's experiences of the world and the ability to share with them your experience and help them through theirs.
Your help and support can make all this possible. We raised funds through chili soup selling pizzas and collecting returnable bottles and cans, and by talking to people like you. If you would like to contribute, you can provide cash or a check written out to the Guildford Community Church with a subject line, youth service trip or Asheville trip.
I'd like to thank everyone in this conversation for congregation for giving us a chance to talk about our trip to Asheville and the things we do as a youth group. And we look forward to reporting back to you with the highlights of our experience.
I missed the opportunity at the beginning to say that Nancy's husband, Brian Reamer, is a wonderful facilitator, and he has a way of orchestrating activities, the learning activities, which bring out the thoughts, words of others. And every word you heard expressed today are the words of the youth as recorded. And then they identified these goals. So we want to thank you for sharing this with us, and we will be sticking around and happy to interact with everyone downstairs after the service. So thank you. We're going April 12th to the 19th. Actually, we'll be back Saturday night, and Easter is the next day.
And please, when you join us after the service, please join our potluck. Please share a meal with us.
Delightful.
Yes, please.
Delightful. Thank you. And it is traditional that we come back and we report on our experiences. So if it works out for us to do that, we would love to do that. Another question? Yes. Excuse me. Checks should be made out to the BA, to Guildford Church? Yeah. So Guildford Church, by the way, I'm the treasurer now of Guildford Church, is the fiscal agent for this. So you make it out to Guildford Community Church with youth service trip or youth group trip in the subject line. And we have a special account for this trip. And as you can see, we had to raise $18,000, and it's just remarkable the way this is coming together and the support we've had for it. So we thoroughly appreciate you're gonna hopefully help send us to the finish line here before the trip. So thank you very much.
Yeah. So Ellen, youth, thank you so very much for coming. I am so deeply impressed and cannot wait to hear back on your trip. Fitting somehow that you're gone Holy Week. Anyway, I look forward to hearing back and talking more downstairs. If you have any other questions, feel free to connect with Joellen downstairs. Next, it is a delight to welcome to the stage, to the podium rather, Patty from Bonnievale Environmental Education Center. Patty, come tell us about your good works.
Hello, everyone, good people of Newfane. I guess you can hear me all right. Oh, gosh, I actually grew up attending the Congregational Church in West Brattleboro, and I don't remember enjoying it quite as much as I'm enjoying this service today. It's, what you're doing is really beautiful, and I will also say that is a tough act to follow right there. I'm up here all by myself, and what I need you to imagine is behind me here is an audience or my crew of beavers and moose and salamanders and trees, and they can't talk, so I'm going to do my best. And I have an old-fashioned notebook to help me here. If you're not familiar with Bonnievale, we're located in West Brattleboro on a rural farmstead over 200 acres, I mean, 200 years old, 60 acres. We have 2 miles of walking trails that you are welcome to come and enjoy anytime, dawn till dusk. We do place-based science education in the region's schools, teaching all those kids how to really love the nature around them and know how it works. We also help support a hub of wildlife rehabilitators. At the moment, I have 5 very beautiful young opossums at my house that needed some help getting through the winter. And yesterday, I picked up a poor squirrel who was doing circles in the middle of Putney Road for some reason, and a lovely young man wanted to help this squirrel, and I think the squirrel might make it. Some of you may know me from the columns that I write for the Brattleboro Reformer that feature beavers very often. So I'm going to tell you now just about a few of the beak projects that are near and dear to my heart, starting with beavers. You may know that I have spent the last 17 or 18 years getting to know the colony of beavers that lives behind my home. And I've always, as a Southern Vermont nature crazy kid, thought that beavers were amazing, of course. I mean, they build dams, they build lodges, they make ponds, they cut down trees with their teeth. But it is as an adult and naturalist that I've come to really appreciate the main thing that beavers do, which is build wetlands that provide benefits to all of us here and to all of the species that live in the forest and all of the species that really depend on wetlands. So one of the projects that we've been working on for the last few years is building a core of beaver believers in the region who are ready to step in when beavers cause trouble, and heaven knows they do cause trouble. Fortunately, there are ways to deal with these problems non-lethally, and so we're teaching people how to do that and how to stand up for beavers. And another project I'd like to mention apropos of our location and today's weather. It is salamander crossing season, people. And the salamanders we're talking about are the giant dark-colored salamanders with bright yellow polka dots. And I think it's possible that there may be people here who have never seen one. Is that true? Yes, well, there's a good reason for that. They spend their entire lives, their entire year, living in tunnels underground. They're called mole salamanders. But this time of year, magical things happen. They're in a dormant state deep down in the earth, but the warm rains are finally trickling down and reaching them, and the soils above them are getting to be warmer than the soils below them, and they're saying, ooh, this is time for something completely different. And they will emerge on, I think, tomorrow night and make their way to their breeding habitat, the small pools that their species have been breeding in for thousands of years. And for 1 or 2 or 3 nights of the whole year, they have a great salamander party. But unfortunately, a lot of them now have to cross roads to get there. And when they cross even moderately busy roads, their populations are likely to disappear without help. So one of the things Bonnyvale does is organize salamander crossing brigades. We actually have 40 different sites throughout the region, and we get volunteers out there on these rainy nights to give salamanders and frogs a ride across the road to get to their breeding habitat. There are 3 sites in Newfane that could really use more help. I see lots of great frog catchers out there. Am I right? If you know any great frog catchers, salamander crossing guards, please have them get in touch with us at Bonnyvale. The website is beek.org, BEEC.org. And your donations, contributions, memberships make all of this work and more possible. And you can find out how to contribute at the website there, beek.org. And thank you very much for having me here today to tell you all about this. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. Can you get something?
Yes.
Last year, some people at night, it was foggy.
Yeah.
Out
I hope they were wearing their reflective vests. Good. Okay. That's what they were doing. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's another really good point. Yeah. If you are not going to be out crossing amphibians, you want to stop driving if you possibly can. The sights in Newfane, and I think it's going to be too cold tonight, but tomorrow night, Grimes Hill Road and Depot Road, and around the corner on South, in South Newfane, you know, Three Penny Inn, that red house right on the corner there with a pond in the backyard, that's another site. And there are new people living there. Does anyone know who they are? Oh, can you tell me their name so I can let them know about this? Oh, okay. New people there. New people there, though. I have, yes. Okay, right. That's a that's another good site in Dummerston. Yeah. And if you go to the website, you'll see that there's an interactive map that shows all of the sites that we know about. And I have a question for all of you, because something that was just said has brought me right back to my own youth group days at the First Congregational Church, where Rob Hom was our pastor and leader. Can anyone tell me where he is now? Keene, he's in Keene. Okay. Oh, he is. Very good. I'm not surprised. It was a long time ago. All right. Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you so very much, Patty. There, in our tradition, there are there's this question that often comes up: who is my neighbor? You've heard it. And there are basically two reasons this question gets asked. One is to kind of narrow the parameters of who counts as worthy of my care and my consideration. And the holier impulse behind that question is, how much bigger can my community get? And I like to think that the work that Bonnie Bell Education, Environmental Education Center does, is helping us to expand our notions of who our neighbors are. So thinking about our other than human kin as our neighbors as well. Thank you so very much. And thank you all for your presentations today. And I want to thank the Mission and Partnerships team for organizing this. What a wonderful presentation or set of presentations. I very much enjoyed this. All right, now we've heard the presentations. The invitation is before us to give. So I will ask our collectors to rise and to grab the collection plates and help us out. The invitation is to give as we have been given, to give of the spirit of abundance and thanksgiving and trust that it's all going to edify this kingdom that we are working so hard to build. Yes, Renee. Well, fortunately, this is our April mission partner. These are our April mission partners. So you have the month of April. It's a little more time sensitive for the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group because they're heading out in just a couple of weeks. But it will be, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, with these gifts, we declare our commitment to your vision of love and justice. Bless these gifts, the fruit of our labors and our savings and our planning. Bless them toward the edification, toward the realization of your kingdom of love here on earth as in heaven. In your name, with hearts full of thanks, we say, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know that's unusual, but we've rejiggered our service just a little bit today, so thank you for bearing with us. We've come now to the joys and concerns for... I'll start. Oh, Nancy, please. continuing to hold Jack in our prayers. And continuing to hold Steve in our prayers as well. Thank you, Nancy. Happy birthday, Phil. Philharmonic, it's your birthday. I'd like to share on behalf of Jim Kyle and Lisa Hicks that they welcomed into this world their granddaughter, Iris Ruth, this past week, their son's daughter. So congratulations to Jim Kyle. She is a doll. You can't wait to see her picture. So say again. Oh, he's shown me. I've seen it. Any other joy? Yes, Will and Michelle.
Robert's son, his name is Ken, who he's going to the road behind him. My friend Joanne's son, who is also his prayers and help.
Thank you, Will and Michelle, holding Ken Jr. and Joanne's son in our prayers this morning. Deb.
Rabbi Gumita will be getting here to do our Seder on April 16th. By the way, I forgot to mention that that is interfaith. So people from anywhere are invited to come join us. But she is in Israel right now with a program that brings Israeli and Palestinian women together. And I just think that is so important right now. So I lift her up and pray for her her success and also for her safety.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Deb. Holding our sibling, Rabbi Amita, in our prayers this morning as she does holy work in Israel and beyond. Apple. Apple, thank you so much. And for continuing to raise young people in unsafe homes and environments. And also, thank you for sharing with us about Pebble and continuing to hold the family in our prayers and lifting you up as we can. Thank you. Sandy. No Other Land, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you didn't hear Sandy, they were raising the fact that No Other Land, a documentary that was made by a collaborative effort between Palestinian and Israeli filmmakers, is showing at the Latches for the next couple of nights. You'll want to check the website for times, but... yeah, thank you for lifting that up, Sandy. Phil.
This one's a joy. So my mother called me with some good news. I'm going to get the job at Easter Sunday, work for an annual Easter Sunday dinner. And I'm hoping that my sister can join us. So, and then, of course, we stand as always, all those in harm's way.
Thank you, Phil, holding all who go into harm's way in our prayers this morning. Yes, Christine. Continue to pray for our caregivers. How dearly we need them right now. Bucky. Yes, yes. Well said. Thank you, Bucky. It's a joy to see the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group, about which I had heard many things when I stepped into this role over 2 years ago, and it's a joy to see it being realized again, or revitalized, as it were. Yeah. Chris. Thank you. Yes. Absolutely. Very, very well said. Thank you so much, Chris. Holding our trans and non-binary neighbors in our prayers, and especially tomorrow during Trans Visibility Day. Thank you for flagging that for us. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Beloved God, thank you for the blessing of being a people called to covenant with you and with each other. We give you such profuse thanks for the honor that we have to gather together, to receive your invitation to love well in this world, which is groaning in travail. Thank you for calling us, and now we trust. Thank you for capacitating us, for enabling us to be your expression of love in this world. God, we come bearing many joys this morning for Phil on his birthday. Thank you for gifting us, Phil. Thank you for Iris Ruth, who has just come into the world and made her grandfather Jim and grandmother Lisa so happy, and us happy with them. Thank you so very much for the peaceful, if sudden, somewhat sudden passing of Pebble, who mercifully had an opportunity to connect with her children and to say farewell before passing from this life. Thank you for that opportunity. We give thanks for the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group and the holy labors which they are about to undertake. Thank you for all that they are doing, for their willingness to show up in this time, their dedication to compassion and justice. Guide them and be with them, we pray. Even, oh God, as we come with these joys, we come bearing heavy hearts with those in our community who need your presence, who need your peace, who need your care and the care of this community. We pray for Steve and Lois as they settle in their new home in Pennsylvania after so many years as a part of this congregation. We pray for Ken Jr. as he navigates a time of difficult transition in his life. Bless him and his parents, Ken and Diane, as they accompany him through this trial. We pray also, God, for Steve and for Jack. We pray for our friend Rabbi Amita as she toils in your care in Israel. We pray for young people who are enmeshed in trying unsafe circumstances at home and in their communities or wherever they are. Bless them and make your peace known to them. May they feel your presence acutely. May your presence be felt acutely also by those who go into harm's way on behalf of their community. Thank you for their dedication to their neighbors. Thank you to caregivers. We pray continuously for Marion as she continues to undertake this uncertain and increasingly certain journey of health and wellness. Surround her and her family at this time, we pray. And we pray, God, your hand, your love, your protection, your peace upon our trans and non-binary neighbors and siblings. Bless them and guide them. These things we pray, O God, in the words our Redeemer taught us to pray when he walked among us. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I invite you all to rise in body or in spirit as we sing hymn number 595, They'll Know We Are Christians.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our liberty may be restored. And they'll know we are Christians, I am not, I am not. Yes, we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, we are Christians by our love. We will learn each other, we will learn side by side. We will learn each other, we will learn side by side. And God, sanity and saving to us, pride. Now, hope in our Christians, Father, our love, Father, our love. Yes, we will be our Christians, Father, our love.
praise to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the praise to the Son, sing song, Son, and the praise to the Spirit. Praise us one, and they'll know we are Christians, for our love, by our love. Yes, and the world we are Christians, by our love.
Amen. You may be seated. I have so many thanks to give today, but I'll try to be quick. Thank you, of course, to our guests from the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Youth Group and from the Bonnievale Environmental Education Center. What a joy it was to have you this morning. Thank you so very much for being here and for all the good work that you're doing. Thank you to Jennifer and to the choir. You sounded fabulous, as did you. Thank you so much to Peter, our Mission and Partnerships rep, and our liturgist today. Thank you to Karen and to Renee for greeting and collecting. Thank you to all of you who brought a potluck dish. I hope you will join us downstairs in just a few minutes. To enjoy fellowship over food and to inquire more from our guests about the work that they're up to. At this time, I invite us to raise our arms to receive the benediction. May you do justice. May you love kindness. May you walk humbly with our God. Go in peace. Go with love. Your trust is making you well. Amen.